This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Holy Spirit, enkindle within us the fire of your love. Recreate us, renew us, birth in us your way, your truth, your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them in ways all will know of your love. Take our hearts and souls and bodies and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Usually, when there is really great news, we want to share it with somebody, right? You get a new job, you get a promotion, somebody knows they're going to have a baby, or you're going to be getting married. I was at my niece's wedding yesterday, and that's what it was like. Everybody was so happy, wanting to share, wanting to be together. So too, as human beings, we want to be together when something awful happens. Maybe we lose a job. Maybe we get into big trouble. Maybe we're afraid of the outcome of something or have gotten into financial crisis or maybe a horrible illness or someone dies. We bring food or flowers or we send a card. We wish we could say something wise or something we could do, when really it's our presence that matters, the fact that we can be with one another. Well, the night before Jesus died, that's how it was. You remember, for the past many, many weeks, we've been talking about that gathering of the Last Supper. And in our gospel today, that's exactly where it was happening, was at the Last Supper, when Jesus was telling them yet again these words. But in today's gospel, on this day, Pentecost, it's a gospel of hope of what's going to happen after Jesus is gone. He's promised that once he's gone, the Holy Spirit, the advocate, that who's going to be acting on our behalf with us and through us and guiding us, is going to come. And then he says, don't worry. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Be at peace with this. Just know. Makes sense that the disciples would do the same thing, this gathering together after Jesus died. Then they heard that he had risen from the dead, and they were all together in the room, remember? And that's when Jesus appeared to them on more than one account. It makes sense that after Jesus left them again on Ascension Day, which we celebrated just 10 days ago, that they would be together, because Jesus had told them, stay together. Don't leave Jerusalem. And so they did, but they weren't sure when the Holy Spirit was going to come. And so for 9 days, which is the origin of the novena, as I talked about last week, this intense prayer time, for 9 days they stayed together. Jesus knew that they'd be grieving, that they would be doubting, that they would need one another. He knew they wouldn't know what to do. And they did need each other. And so they stayed together and they waited. They waited for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And then it happened, as depicted in the book of Acts. And in chapter 2, we're going to read together just the first 8 verses as they appear on the screen. Together, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language?" So, what I'd like to do now is I want to set the time frame and the scene, and then we're going to go through each section that we just read and see how it was effective for them and what it is for us today as our blueprint, our guide in 2016. So the time frame is on a high holy day in the Jewish tradition called Shavuot. I looked up the pronunciation. I think I got that. Shavuot, I think you say. And it also means weeks. So they would gather in this festival of weeks 50 days after the first harvest. And that's what was going on traditionally at that time of year. And thousands of people had gathered in Jerusalem for this high holy day. So that's the time frame. Also, right after that Jesus had risen from the dead and ascended into heaven, you've got that time frame going on too. So you've got this little band of Jesus followers, and then you have people from all over, all these different nations, gathering together also in this. So there's two groups. Keep that in mind. When the day of Pentecost had come, the disciples were all together in one place. I wonder what they did for over a week waiting in that room, or if they were outside, or what they were doing. How were they supporting each other? What did they eat? Did they have some kind of cards they would play like we would do? How did they keep busy? They were just waiting and waiting and waiting. How were they comforting? How were they encouraging one another? In community, each one holds the other up. Each one's gifts can be heard and shared and utilized. So they're all together. So the next verse. And suddenly from heaven there came this sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. This swooshing sound of a violent wind, if you can imagine, it was just this, it would be like it happening right here. And we'd be looking around saying, what was that? What could that possibly be? And it says it filled the entire house while they were sitting. And not only that, but then the next verse, divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And it's unfortunate that that gets a little bit misunderstood. You've seen pictures probably of where they're all gathering and they've got these flames coming out of their heads. Have you seen that in art? And it's like that, you know, that's supposed to really be actual. It says, as of fire. And the divided tongues are that, it's kind of like a fire. And the base of it, they're all united. But each flame that goes up is individual. Each flame that went up was a different kind of a tongue, a different kind of a dialect. So then, the next verse, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. So this is the miracle part of Pentecost. And there's always argument about whether that really happened or whether it's a metaphor for everyone coming together in the name of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, I, for one, believe in miracles. So I think it was actually that they all had this God-given power by the Holy Spirit to start speaking these different languages. And the next verse, now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. So not only were people living there, these devout Jews, but remember there was also this other big crowd there for Shavuot, right? And next verse, amazed and astonished, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. So somehow, that whooshing sound of the wind and all of them talking in different languages attracted a crowd. It wasn't just the little Jesus followers that were there waiting. and experiencing the Holy Spirit, somehow that had attracted all these other people that came, and they were wondering, how is it? What is going on here? Next verse. Amazed and astonished, they asked, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? And if you read beyond this verse, you'll see that it identifies all the different regions that were there represented and all the different languages that were being spoken at that time that they could all understand. How is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? How could they know? And so immediately what the crowd assumes is that they're drunk. That's what it says. If you read on in the book of Acts, they must be drunk. How could this possibly be? Or maybe the ones hearing it thought they were because they were hearing it in their own language. That was one. Other people were saying, no. What I'm hearing are the deeds of God coming in my language. And I get it. I don't know what's going on here either. And then Peter stands up. And he gives the first sermon in the church on Pentecost. That's why we call it the birth of the church. And he began to say, no, they're not drunk. They are not. And I forget the words they use, something like filled with wine or something. He said, no, that isn't what's going on here. The Holy Spirit has been poured out in fulfillment of God's promise given by the prophet Joel. And then he recites what that prophecy was from Joel, which would be a book that the people who were gathered would be familiar with from the Hebrew scripture. He said to them, a prophet foretold by scripture has come. And he was crucified and he rose again. And then the crowd started paying attention. And they said, what should we do? And Peter said, turn away from anything that you've been doing that is not of God. Repent and be baptized. And the text tells us that more than 3,000 people were baptized on that day. It was the beginning of the church. Not bad for his first sermon. And notice that this church is made up of people who were the Christ followers, those who were devout, and those who were just wondering, those who were just seeking. And they were all gathered together and all understanding each other. That's the ideal church. Kind of like us, right? We come as devout followers, but we also come with our doubts and our concerns and our questions. And maybe we don't even know if there is a God. But we're gathered together as one body, hoping and sharing. Pentecost Sunday is the day to know the power of the Holy Spirit in our midst, born afresh. And for us to be asking ourselves, how is it that we hear? How is it that we hear in this world of so many different languages and people and situations and opinions and perspectives? How is it that we hear? And what are we listening to in our heart of hearts? And not only hearing, and that word hear actually in the Hebrew language is dabar. It's like it's an action. You're not just hearing. How are we responding to what we hear? And do we believe in the words of Jesus Christ that means if we are following that the power of the Holy Spirit's going to be with us, coursing through us and within us? Now, granted, the Holy Spirit can come to us, yes, in our moments of solitude. Frequently, the Holy Spirit does show up that way. But the message of Pentecost is to know the power of gathering together. And that then we take it out into the world and affect the world through the power of the Holy Spirit working in us. There's a young woman who comes to our Tuesday night Bible study who is a high school teacher locally. And she works with some pretty tough characters. And she said that because of coming here and coming to the Bible study, that she can go and teach them, and they started to ask her questions about God. And in a public school, she's not really allowed to talk about it. but she can answer their questions. And she said it wouldn't have happened if it weren't for the people in this church and our gathering together, and that's what it's about. If it's not affecting our lives, if we just come here on Sundays and that's it, that's not church. It's not this building. It's what we do with it. And that's the thing. Many people today feel that church is just a kind of a good idea and it's convenient to go once in a while. As long as I have my personal relationship with God, we're A-okay. Well, Pentecost gives us this vivid example of how it can be and how we can affect people, how we can be emboldened to bring love and justice and truth to this world. And all the while knowing the power of the Holy Spirit within, as Oswald Chambers wrote, God not only expects us to do his will, God is in us to do it. Amen.